Welcome to the Song Saloon. I'm singer-songwriter Jordan Smith Reynolds. Each episode, I meet with an artist and break down one of their songs. Today, that artist is Jacob Humber, and the song is Stick Around. I met Jacob through LASC, the Los Angeles Songwriters Collective. I was immediately impressed with his songs and the way he blends pop sensibility with achingly confessional folk singer-songwriter lyricism. This may or may not be the first episode that's released, but it is the first episode recorded in Song Saloon history, so thank you for making Song Saloon history, Jacob.
Happy to
Welcome
be
to
here.
The Saloon.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. So we're working with your song Stick Around today. Would you mind playing that for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Sweet.
I like things better when it's colder. It seems everything has to slow down. Stay close, close to each other. Can't ignore what's going on right now. But when it starts getting warmer, all my friends leave town. Guess I'll stick around for all the people I don't wanna let go. For all the places I feel out of control. For all the things I wanna say but I don't. I'll stick around. I'm tired of trying to find a reason to why I feel the way I do. 'Cause even in a room of friends, I'm wondering, is this all over before it begins? And how many secrets did I tell you? When it starts getting warmer, all my friends leave town. Guess I'll stick around for all the people I don't wanna let go. For all the places I feel out of control. All the things I wanna say but I don't, I don't. I'll stick around. Stick around. Mm-hmm. We're all getting older. It feels like less somehow. I'll stick around. For all the people I don't wanna let go. For all the places I feel out of control. All the things I wanna say but I don't. I'll stick around. I'll stick around.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Jacob. Tell me a little bit about yourself in this song.
Well, myself, hello, my name's Jacob. I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm a singer-songwriter and artist. Been here since 2018. I really like cigars and walking with cigars, waking up early to write, reading in general, making coffee, making mixed drinks. I kind of obsessed over lists in general. And yeah, so when I moved to Nashville, I moved here in order to learn about the craft of songwriting. And yeah, it just takes a while to learn how to do things well. And Stick Around was one of several songs that came about as I was living here and I had no idea what the first thing I was supposed to do was. So I'm just trying to make like little daily progresses on writing or on reading and researching, just figuring out again, like, how do I pursue music and songcraft here? And Stick Around was one of those songs that came out. It's interesting listening back to those songs from 2018 and 2019, because a lot of them feel contrived to me. And Stick Around was one of those that came from a really sincere place where I wasn't trying to create a song in order for it to earn praise. It was a song that just came from a day where I was feeling a lot of things, and I wanted to not be feeling those things and have them be mysterious and unknown. So songwriting helps me figure that out. It grew over time as I was learning and growing and adapting to a new city and a new career pursuit, and eventually became what we hear today.
This was one of your 2018 songs.
It was.
So some years have passed since then. What have you learned about the craft? You mentioned taking that time to figure out your craft here in Nashville. What have you done to figure that out? And what advice would you have for other songwriters that may be looking for the same things that you've learned?
What have I learned? A lot. I think the biggest thing, zooming out the most, is that it requires a lot of time and relentless effort to be willing to make some progress. I hoped that it would be easy. Or that there's a certain book that you read or a certain friend group you come into, and it's like a movie or any good novel you read where it's like things are happening. You have like a movie montage where, okay, I meet these people and then I spend the length of this song doing push-ups and working on guitar chords. And then like by the end, I'm playing some dream show, right? That's just not the case. I think if you want to build a career out of this, you have to find something meaningful in the craft you're doing for yourself. It can't be creating for the sake of output, unless you are unbelievably gifted and talented and everything you touch turns to gold. I do not relate in that way. So to me, it started with a Jimmy Webb book. I think it's called Tunesmith. I was living in this house with like five other people, and one of them was a really gifted singer-songwriter, which I didn't find out till after we wrote a song together. And then I looked him up and he had a million monthly listeners. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. But he just had a bunch of kind of old-timey singer-songwriter books hanging around, and I cracked that one open. I remember I started really being able to latch on to something when I read probably 80 pages into this book. It's like a 400-page book. The idea of getting a yellow legal notepad and setting a timer for 30 to 35 minutes. It's not that much time, right? So you're not going to waste your whole day if it all goes terribly, but it's enough time that you have to focus and try and develop something. And I just started adding 35-minute segments throughout my day. And I was listening to music that I enjoyed, and I was writing down lyrics, and I'm trying to study songs that I'm learning in order to figure out, like, how does someone who writes a song start with an idea, concept, and a verse, move into a chorus, go into another verse if we're following a traditional structure. And really, it's just over time being willing to put in the time, whether or not you see progress or not. I mentioned I like lists. So I would do something where I would write, I'd put a calendar week in front of me with open spaces, and I would just log my time spent each day. So if anything else, a month into it, I can look back and say, I put in this much time in this month, and that was time well spent. And I'm just going to trust in the process that I'm going to continue growing and learning how to do this. But again, the key is it has to be something that I can incorporate into my daily life that, like, helps me foster creative living and enjoying living, rather than I'm only spending this time so it pays off in the future.
Wow. There is a lot to unpack there. And I love that. I relate to that so much, because you get caught up with everything else that goes into songwriting, which is marketing and making sure people actually hear the thing. So I love the idea of making sure you've got yourself grounded creatively and you've got that figured out.
Thank you. It's hard to figure out how to do something sustainably when you see people around you blowing up on the internet, right? It like really makes you focus in on your why. Because if you're not blowing up and you're not just able to easily do this every day of your life because you're going viral and people love you, like, at least for me, it's easy for me to get in my head and be like, why in the hell am I doing this?
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's just easy to be so hopeless. And so it's been important to find a way to sustainably do it every day.
I've heard a lot of schools of thought, like, you should only write when you're inspired, you should write all the time. And I think there's a healthy balance between the two. Where do you find that balance for yourself?
I think that it's always changing. There are two analogies. One, I played football all my life. Like exercising your muscles and training for strength is something I'm used to talking about and being around. So I heard one time that songwriting is like a muscle. And when you exercise that muscle over time, it gains strength. And when you don't, it atrophies. And so you can just tell when you show up to a song and it feels so crappy, or you're trying to write something and you just can't grab it. But if you've been exercising consistently, whether that's every day, every couple of days, every week, I think that there's a difference you may notice. The other idea is similar, but it's this analogy of a bus stop where it's important to be showing up to the bus stop every single day. And the bus might not come when you're there. And that's an analogy for the muse. And that's helpful for me because I'm just going to do my thing and I'm going to show up and I'm going to keep trying to pursue truth that I can and do see, though I don't see all of it. I'm learning how to find what I need in order to enjoy my life. And if I'm willing to show up at that bus stop and explore it and get excited by what I'm figuring out, maybe the bus just comes around and it turns into something that's worth sharing with other people. And maybe not. But again, if my time spent at that bus stop is worthwhile to me, it almost doesn't matter if the bus shows up or not.
I love that. So my background is in classical voice opera. One of the people we studied was Franz Schubert, who does a bunch of art songs and things. We tend to put classical composers up on a pedestal because they've had the test of time and everything. People think, oh, it's divine inspiration, and forget kind of the work that goes into it. But I was looking up Franz Schubert's life. He just sat in his room, composed 9 to 5, left, and then did whatever he needed to for the rest of the day. I love stories like that because it makes it feel a lot more real and a lot more attainable to make a life out of this.
Yeah, that's so smart. And man, that's a lot of dedication as well. It reminds me of something that is showcased in this album that Stick Around opens for. It's named after Kodiak, Alaska, and I can talk more about that. But I remember so vividly one of my first trips there were fishing. There's just no action that day. Nothing's biting. It's rainy. It's cold. It's miserable. And we're casting. And there's, I don't know, probably Filipino man, maybe in his 70s, maybe in his 80s. But he was just so like doing his thing. He seems really unbothered by not catching anything. And I mean, I'm a little like 12-year-old kid at the time. And I remember he said something where I was like, do you think we're ever going to catch any? He goes, I don't know. It's like, you know what the difference is between me and you? Because he like catches 2 fish as I'm talking to him. No one else has caught. It's like, what? He's like, I've had my line in the water for longer than you have. And I was like, I get it.
That is straight out of a movie. Yeah. This is the first song on your record. Why is it your first song? How does this open up the album for you?
To me, I need there to be a song with energy. And also, it's a fall album to me. And an opening line, I like things better when it's colder. Like something about that just sets the scene. This is kind of where I'm at as I'm writing this. There are people I don't want to let go. There are places that I feel out of control, and there are things that I want to say and I don't.
Yeah, it feels a lot like a mission statement. And I want to listen to that real quick. I have the chorus pulled up here because I want to talk about the melody. Yeah, what I love about that is how the melody stays the same for the first 2 or 3. And then there's just that little variation on the, but I don't. It really makes the line hit home for me.
Thanks for saying that. So I produced this record with a really talented producer in town named Julian Dente. He's in Nashville. And we were kind of workshopping this song as we were recording it a bit. And this chorus, he played the top melody, the initial For All the People I Don't Want to Let Go melody on keys. And I just loved it. He's just really gifted at thinking about how to change melodies slightly in order to have like a pretty big impact. I think there was a lot of frustration that I'm feeling in this song as I'm talking with Julian about it. And yeah, he's like, why don't we just take it up? And now we have Jordan Reynolds appreciating it. So thank you.
Yeah. So with the song, you mentioned starting it in 2018. Is that when you met with Julian or is that closer towards the end? Did it start with verses? Love to dive into that.
Yeah, it started with just a really basic 4-1-5 chord progression and C shapes on a guitar. That was 2018. And it was kind of put away until I was working with another guy in town trying to put together a little project. It kind of fell apart as the pandemic made all of our lives fall apart. But Julian did play, he came in while this other guy is producing a song in 2019 for me. And Julian played drums. It's Easy Way Out. And he played drums on Batch Brew. And I just remembered there was a programming loop. He brought in his OP-1 and he made this programming loop during the second verse of Easy Way Out. And from that moment, I knew I wanted this guy to produce a record for me. And pandemic hits, me and this other fella stopped working together, reached out to Julian. It's like, hey, I've got a bunch of songs. I have no idea how to make a record. This is my first time. Are you down to be a part of this with me? And he was all for it. There were probably 15 songs that I was wondering about putting on the record. And it was one we honed in on and started working at, and it paid off for us.
Very cool. And you mentioned Kodiak. Is that where you're from?
It's not. So my dad and I would take, first he took this fishing trip to Kodiak, Alaska. And then a year later, he wanted me to come with him. I was 12 at the time. And we kept going back to Kodiak, Alaska, which is a terrifying place. Like everything there is killing everything. It's nature at work and it is beautiful, but seriously, a Kodiak grizzly bear is the largest land predator in the world. And they walk within 20 yards of you as they're just looking for salmon. So the conversations you have just really dredge the depths as well when you're in such a raw place and you have a lot of time to think, a lot of space. You don't have access to a cellular network at all. And I've learned more about my dad on these trips than I have anywhere else in the world. And as such, I've learned more about myself on these trips than anywhere else. The conversations we'd have, the arguments we'd get into, the things I would think about. And over time, they eventually made their way into songs. And I just decided to package all the songs together and call them Kodiak when I was making this project.
Yeah, and you mentioned family and friends seems to be a pretty heavy theme for a lot of the album. And Afterlife is obviously one of the highlights. I'll play just a little bit of that real quick.
Think that you've changed. You're not thinking straight. You say I've lost my way as if I had it in the first place. What's the point of being right?
Awesome. So how do you use your past as a well for songwriting? It sounds like some religious undertone stuff going on in Afterlife and maybe a faith conflict with people you grew up with. Would love to get into that a bit more too.
Yeah. No, thanks for playing that song and thanks for asking. My dad was a pastor growing up, was raised in a really small town, and it was kind of a Christian town, but like we were a Christian family as well. And the older I got, the more I noticed like this man, Jesus, that Christianity is centered around. It's like the goal is to learn how he treated people and to treat people like that. And I kept finding people who weren't doing that, but were claiming this man that I'm learning about growing up. And it was so frustrating to me. And I had a lot of weird experiences that kind of fueled that. So Afterlife is a tribute to that feeling that I'm sure a lot of us have had. I had a lot growing up where it seems like what's more important to the person I'm talking with is being right instead of being known by them, and how frustrating that is.
Thank you. I also want to ask you about collaboration because you're in the city of collaboration, I feel like. What helped you become a better collaborator?
I'm going to be honest. I don't know that I'm all that great of a collaborator. I don't have lots of rights with other people. Would love to, super open to it. I'm just a pretty isolated person, like intentionally. But I think something that helps me is just being willing to submit to whatever comes up with me and this other person. I think whatever the song becomes was meant to be, and you can trust that. Even if it's a song that you're like, this isn't any good and I would never play again. What's really helped me is caring about the connection I have with that person instead of the output of the song that's happening. Someone I've worked with before in town always said, the most important part of any album you make is what snacks you have while you're creating it. I completely agree with him.
I love that. Yeah, and it sounds like a lot of this album was a collaboration too. So you may not be giving yourself enough credit with that, but letting go of the ego and to be able to do that is an accomplishment. And I'm glad you're doing it and coming up with some really great stuff.
Thank you. I don't know why. My brain sometimes is like, do I have people who are on board with helping out? And I do. You're absolutely right. So I'm a song starter. Like I have a knack for starting songs, but finishing them is so difficult for me. So all of these songs on this record, I had to a place, and then I would bring them to some of the different writers on the album. Just like, hey, do do you want to help me edit this? And then I just looked for things that they would suggest where I'm like, that improves the quality of the song. We have to have it. You're now a writer on this song. So yeah, again, that requires me getting over myself, us getting over ourselves, right? Killing our darlings, because we will always be stronger than just one person alone. It's funny. I'm totally contradicting myself from before. I'm like, I'm going to isolate it. But I do believe if I can make something and it's just me and it's out there, it's like, okay. But if there's something I make with someone else that's better than what I could have come up with on my own, to me, that community base around creativity is what it's all about. And I'm learning how to approach that with these next projects.
Right. Yeah, I'll keep up with you and how I'm doing with that as well, because I know that is something I want to improve on.
And I do just need to say really quick, whoever is listening to this, if you haven't checked out Jordan's music, you really should, because it's incredible. His melodies are ridiculous. His writing is so introspective and thoughtful. He's interviewing me. I could be interviewing him straight back. Listen to Jordan's music.
Wow. Thank you so much, Jacob. Stick Around is off of Jacob's record, Kodiak. We'll have the links to the song in the episode description or YouTube video, wherever you're watching this. If you liked the episode, please reach out and give us a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for stopping by the Song Saloon. Episodes are released weekly on Wednesday, and you can follow on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter at The Song Saloon, and visit our website, thesongsaloon.com, where you can find past episodes, transcriptions, sign up to our email list, and find more ways to support the show. Please follow, rate, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Every little bit helps grow our community of artists, songwriters, and music lovers. We truly couldn't do it without you. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Better when it's colder. It seems-
I didn't even say goodbye.